play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Nigga. Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. We are coming at you to preview the 2020 Wyndham Championship. So it should be a pretty fun one there. You can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's been a fun weekend. We played a little golf, and we got to watch major golf and primetime golf, which I absolutely love.
Yes.
Like watching the end at like 6:30 my time yesterday, 9:30 for you. Like, that's just freaking, that's the wheelhouse. That was good stuff.
It was awesome. So,
what was your takeaway from that deal though? Cause we had some heavy hitters. We had Morikawa, who we love. He came through and got it done. There was a couple kind of randos, but overall the big names kind of got there. What was your thoughts on that tournament?
Yeah, it was, I mean, from a viewing perspective, it was a little bit of a rough start for ESPN on, I think, on Thursday, but they figured it out. I don't know. Did you get to watch any of the coverage, like on ESPN Plus?
Not on ESPN Plus. I was working during those, but like when they had on regular ESPN, I'd be in my office, I'd have it on, and it was, even that was a million times better than CBS's garbage. Yeah. So that was good.
I mean, they killed it. ESPN, I think, killed it. You know, the first 2 days there, as far as the coverage goes, and then I got home in time to watch pretty much all the back nine of the leaders there on Saturday, and CBS was paying a lot of bills. But I mean, if that's a preview of what kind of like what ESPN Plus will be whenever, you know, PGA Tour Live or whatever goes that route, I mean, that might be awesome. So, but I mean, from a tournament perspective, the golf was good. The golf course was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get to play that?
I was going to say that. So like about six or seven guys from the men's club, they came over with their wives yesterday. They wanted to see the baby and all that stuff. So we were huddled around the TV watching the final round of the tournament. And one of the guys got on the phone and started Googling Harding Park. And the earliest tee times are in October. It was actually the weekend right after my birthday. My birthday's on like a Thursday. There's open tee times that Saturday. So he booked a foursome already. So we're probably playing that in October.
Hell
right
yeah.
After my birthday. So that's kind of the plan, at least for now. It should be pretty awesome. Beautiful golf. Yeah, it looked beautiful. I loved it because if you didn't know the layout, the people didn't know it. It's cool because it's total Muni feel. You got, I think it's University of San Francisco right there across one street. You know, Lake Merced here. If you go around the bend of Lake Merced, then you have Olympic Club. So you have a private course, a lake, a Muni, a college. Like, it's just a cool little setup right there.
Yeah.
Beautiful golf course. You can see where it's like friendly, but also challenging if you screw up, which is what I want all, like, we should want all golf to be. Make a good shot, you get rewarded. Make a bad shot, you got to pay for it a little bit. So I liked it.
I did too. I mean, I think that they toughened it up from, especially from what you'll see. Rough was a little bit longer, obviously, than what they usually probably, and some of those fairways were narrow as shit. You could tell they narrowed them down. But I'm totally fine with that. I mean, you know, you should have to hit it in the fairway. And if you don't, then, you know, and it played long enough. There were some cool holes, especially like 16. I mean,
oh my God, that was amazing.
I'm sure you saw that. Everybody's seen the shot from Colin on 16.
What kind of stones? Like, literally, if he hits a bad shot and he risks, because that was what was beautiful about that. Unlike, you know, say 17 at Waste Management or whatever, even if you mess up, you drop it, you're pretty much guaranteed a par. This one, if you're off, even in the bunker, guys are barely saving pars. Like, it was gnarly. So to make that shot he made and just to basically put it away and make the eagle putt, that was amazing.
Very, very, yeah. I mean, and he hit the putt true as he could too. So, I mean, that was an awesome shot. But just the golf course, the look of it was really cool. And it would have been a lot of fun to have fans there. But, you know.
Yeah, could you imagine the uproar on 16 when just not even the putt drain, just when that ball hits the green and like rolls?
Oh. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. But otherwise, dude, I mean, pretty much everybody showed up to this. I mean, there wasn't really any surprises as far as miscuts go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brooks talking shit and then not being able to back it up on Sunday is kind of funny to me. But, you know.
I love the trash talking, even though I wouldn't be poking Rory and those guys. They really haven't done anything to deserve it. But I think it's kind of fun. It's like a little wrestling heel type thing. Let's get a little rivalry out there because there's no fans to spark anything. Let's get it. Let's have some fun, and I'm here for it. So it was interesting.
Yeah, we were really close to a I think Bryson
Brooks Perrien.
Yeah, Brooks Perrien on Sunday, which would have been awesome.
Yep,
Bryson played really well on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. He had first top 10 finish in a major, so that's big for him.
Yep.
Our good buddy Tony, typical top five in a major.
Yeah. I think there was a bunch of surprises, though. You know, I mean, I wasn't on Scotty Scheffler. We had talked about him, what, about a month ago
mm-hmm.
when he couldn't make a two-footer and mm-hmm. missed the cut at something.
Yeah, seven over on Thursday, seven under on Friday. Yeah, that was fun.
But it was interesting to see that he was like 13% owned in some of these higher contests.
Mm-hmm.
Like and there was an 888 snowman. So you could kind of figure out why I'm watching that. But anyways, long story short, he was 13% owned mm-hmm. in that contest. And like, fuck, dude, I didn't have any inkling to play Scotty Scheffler this past week or Cam Champ. I mean, I get it because they're both long. I see that perspective of it now, but leading into it, it's not like they were burning it up.
No.
And then also too, Hao Tong Lee, you know, I mean, I mentioned him the week before as a good GPP play, and by God, played him, and then he finishes dead last, and then this week, I mean, he was right there, but as to be expected, you know, I mean, he shit the bed.
Isn't golf great? Golf's a fun game, but I guess like the last thing besides, it was just fun to watch. I love we all love majors, but it was a good field. The cream rose to the top like usual. Like that's always good to see. But what I loved about it, because it was a muni, unlike these other courses they've been going to, there's no locker room. Even if there is, they want a social distance. So, like, these guys are showing up in their gear, ready to freaking go. And it had that feel like when we go to a club, like, there's pictures of Tiger putting his shoes on using his car to put his shoes on. And there's Phil in the parking lot swinging his freaking orange whip to get loose in the parking lot. I'm like, this is what we see every mm-hmm. we go out there. It was kind of funny getting a different feel than the usual for these guys. So,
did you get to hear Phil behind the mic?
I've heard all about it. I've heard it's absolutely electric, and I know I need to go find it. Like, I've heard it was basically the No Laying Up guys said they'll never have enough money to pay Phil to do it full time, but they have to find a way to get him in there at least like once a week, just for a little bit.
Dude. I mean, he brought a way different perspective. I was actually, I caught a clip of Mayo's show, and I think he made a really good point of like just getting a guy who either plays early in the morning, Saturday or Sunday or whatever. And has already gone out and played the golf course and played it that day and knows where those pins are sitting. I mean, I think Phil's kind of one of a kind as far as his personality goes, but I think they mentioned Spieth mm-hmm. as being somebody who could do it well. And I think that'd be interesting. Just get somebody in the booth who's already gone out and played the golf course and, you know, sees this guy hit this shot and it's like, shit, you know, good luck with that kind of thing. And I don't know, man, it was fun. It was fun.
I like Phil
more and more all the time. It's weird.
Well, he's good behind the mic. I just think it's funny. Like looking at him, he's got the sunglasses on. He's looking older. Like he just doesn't care. He's out there to collect money, and it's glorious. I just want to see him on the senior tour because he could just run buckshot on those guys.
Yeah, it won't even be close.
It'd be wild. But they don't pay enough money there, so he's not going to be over there anytime soon.
Right.
But it'll be fun to see. And we got some awesome golf coming. We've got the Wyndham this week. Then the playoffs start for I think 3 weeks. Then we got the Open, and then we got the Masters. Like it's just gonna, it's about to get real wild, really, really wild. I guess we have to say it. I really don't care much about it because we saw it coming. Any thoughts on LT Gray's performance? Because like we kind of saw that coming.
Well, he hit the ball well. For whatever reason, he put the old Scotty in the away,
mm-hmm.
And then his putting was just atrocious. I mean, he didn't really lose a whole lot of strokes putting, and he actually gained on Thursday and on Sunday. Those were his best rounds. But the other 2 days, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was weird to watch him. But he hit the ball well. I mean, I think he was in form. It's just, you know, mentally he wasn't putting well for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it would just concern me because he even admitted he was nervous about his health. He was surprised he held up in the weather. Like, all those things he's saying, I'm like, yeah, we're not going to do that this week. But it's going to be warm most of the time coming on out here. Hopefully the Masters is warm enough. That'd really suck if that was a cold one, too. But we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm sure it'll be in the 60s or 70s, I'd imagine. November, Georgia.
No humidity compared to normal, though. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be.
We'll see how that goes. But let's get into the Wyndham. As the PGA was great, fun stuff. We could probably talk a lot more about it. We didn't talk Jason Day or any of these guys that played pretty good, Casey of the world. But let's get to the Wyndham. Decent field, kind of top heavy a little bit, and then some guys we like to play because they're kind of not the big names, but they're fun. What do you got for past event history on a very popular tournament?
Yeah, so last year this has been played at the same golf course, which is Sedgefield Country Club. Yeah, since 2008. We've got a lot of course history here. Last year, JT Poston was the winner, 22 under, one shot over Webb. 2018, Brant Snedeker shot 59 in his opening round, and got his second championship at this event. He shot 21 under, three shots over CT Pan and Webb. Henrik Stenson won the 2017 edition of this, 22 under, one shot over Ollie Snyderjans. It's quite the
there's a name from a name. Blast from the past.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's on the Corn Ferry anymore, man.
Oh man, he's gonna be a Latino PGA.
I think he is. I think he is. I think I've seen pictures of him this year. 2016, Siwoo Kim, 21 under, five shots over Luke Donald. Davis Love III's won this before. Patrick Reed's a past champion here, who's in the field. Webb's a past champion here. Ryan Moore in the field this week too. Have you looked at? Did you look at the leaderboard last year?
No, I remember JT winning it. He went. I think he went bogey free. I think the whole time or something.
Yeah, he didn't make a bogey all week.
Yeah, and it wasn't Benny on there for a while, and then he went found some nasty stuff. If I remember correctly, it was an interesting field for sure.
I don't remember exactly how, but Ben On was up there.
I remember he was basically going bogey free, and then he had a drive into the shit basically, and it ended just, that one.
Just I'm gonna read through some of these names, and you tell me what you feel like just off the top of your head these guys have in common. So obviously JT Poston won, Webb was second, Ben On was third, Hovland was fourth, Siwoo fifth, Teeter, Garnett, Harmon, Horschel, M, Kokrak, Sabatini tied for six. So that's basically your top 10. What do you think when you think of some of those names?
Ball striking, I guess.
Yeah. Terrible fucking putting.
Yes. Like maybe they run hot, and I'll talk about that with the greens. Like this is literally one of those weeks. If you try to predict putting, more power to you because these greens are wild. So, get there.
Like, just think about that. Ben On, terrible putter, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, no offense, but that's just, it is what
he
it is.
He admits it. There's no offense to it. He tweets about it every round.
Kokrak, never been a good putter. I wouldn't consider Teeter a great putter. I think Webb has his time, and he's definitely got a much better short game now than he did 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then Hovland, I don't really consider him a great putter. This leaderboard, just when I went through this today, and I was just kind of looking at some of the scores from the past couple of years, and thing that I thought.
Well, it makes sense because you said Sedgefield Country Club. It's a par 70. They extended a little bit, but it's still basically 7,200, a little less than 7,200 yards, so not super long. If people are really paying attention there, the winning scores, it's either every year the first or the second easiest par 70 course on tour. So there's birdies to be had out here. It's a tree line. It's a Donald Ross design tree line fairways, but they're tight, but very gettable fairways. So it's not like you have to be super, super accurate. The rough's only like 2 to 2.5 inches. So it's not penal. Just you want to be able to hold the greens if you can. The Bermuda greens, you mentioned the putting, they're pretty darn fast. They run to 12 and a half on the stimp usually. So they're quick, they're undulating, but they're really large. So you can hit them and, just two putt for pars or get them close and roll them well. Some guys will say, I don't know about your thoughts on this, Jesse, but I think almost the faster the green, I guess the easier to putt it is because you're not really focused on, pushing things around and
speed,
stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said about that. You'll see maybe that's why some of these bad putters actually putt well in this scenario. So that's something to keep in mind. The greens do have runoffs, so you don't want to be coming in hot. That's where the rough can get you at times. But overall, pretty easy. And they've seen most years, the first couple days, the scoring's a lot better as the course dries out over the week. So those early rounds, you'll see a lot of scoring. Like you mentioned, Brent shot the 59. A lot of that kind of stuff going on the first day or two on the tour. But overall, pretty easy course. 8 par 4s, 400 to 450 yards. Both par fives are reachable. They have like an eagle percentage of like 5 to 7%, give or take. So you need to be at least birding those par fives to have some fun there. That should be like at least 8 under par if you make it through Sunday, if you're playing it right. But overall, keep it. You don't have to keep it in the fairway. You want it in the fairway. You don't have to keep it in the fairway here. You can bomb and gouge it if you want. That's why you see some names on that leaderboard. It varies, but some of the guys can crush it. But overall, you don't have to. Good approach game, not super long. Run hot with the putter. See you at the podium, I guess. That's kind of the way this one works. So what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, driving distance, greens and regulation, birdie or better percentage. I mean, this is an absolute birdie fest. The cut has been like 3 or 4 under. So I fully expect it to be 3 or 4 under again this week. I saw a good tweet earlier today. I think it was from what was his name? At the Fantasy Grind, Jeff. I know you follow him on here too. But he actually mentioned this last year's winner JT Poston made 0 bogeys all week and only missed 10 greens all week, and still only won by 1 stroke. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Get ready to go from thank fuck my guy made par to." There's a lot of cuss words here. Thankfully, my guy. I mean. God damn it, my guy made par. So, I mean, it's just a complete, it's just the complete opposite of what we were looking at last week. Definitely got to get guys who are, who are hitting it close. Proximity is a good score to look at. Par 5 percentage, even par 5 score, or basically the score on par 5, long story short. And plenty of course history stats, obviously, to look at too. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep, bunch of course history for sure. And we'll talk FanshareSports.com real quick. Promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off the package of your choice. We got good stuff going on at Fanshare, as always, expanding the product more and more as they go. But a couple things we're looking at this week just for fun. You can do so much more. Just last 6 events on Bermuda for guys in this field and DK scoring. Webb Simpson leads the way at almost 105 DK points. Second is Harris English at 71. So quite the gap on Bermuda. Because Harris, Bill Haas, Neesmith, Andrew Landry, Matt McNeely, Fabian Gomez, and Brooks Koepka are sitting right there for you. If you look at the last 6 on Bermuda, on fast Bermuda greens, not all these guys have played 6, but leading the way, Webb Simpson at 84 DK points. Tom Lewis, Brendan Grace, Snedeker, Tommy Fleetwood, Ches Reavy, and Billy Ho have played really well on faster Bermuda greens. Something to keep in mind. The last 6 events on Donald Ross Designs, it's kind of like the old Pete Dyes. Some guys like these courses quite a bit. Guys that have played well, obviously JT with the W. Rory Sabatini has played phenomenal on these. Neiman, Stewart, Billy Ho, Denny McCarthy, and Webb. You're getting a common name is on all of these, by the way. Just throwing that out there. And then the last 6, par 70, 7,000 to 7,200 yards. Can you guess who the leader is in DraftKings scoring, Jesse?
Webb.
Webb at 108 points. Like, he is just popping everywhere on these little searches. CH3, Sungjae, Fleetwood, Corey Connors, Billy Ho. Love these type of courses. So doesn't mean it's the end all be all, no, but when you see their name popping pretty much everywhere, might mean they do pretty good. You mentioned, past winner, runner up. Like, you've mentioned his name a lot on the past event history as well. So makes a ton of sense when you look at his course history. He has a second, a third, a 72nd, a 6th, a 5th, 11th, 22nd, 1st, 8th. Since 2010. That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty, pretty good. But all right, let's get into the DraftKings scoring. 10K and above. These are where the big boys are. You got Brooks at 11-4. And you have to wonder, does he really care about this event?
I'm surprised he's playing.
Yeah, I figured. And that's one thing. Watch for withdrawals. We still might get some. It's only Monday night. I find Brooks, I bounce. But maybe he's got some obligation. Who knows? Webb's at 11-2. Reed's at 10-7. Fleetwood 10-5. Casey 10-3. A couple guys stand out to me. Who are standing out to you?
Obviously Webb. I mean, we've already talked about him. I don't really think we need to go too awful much more into him. He was okay last week. He finished 37th. Nothing too crazy. A couple of rounds in the 60s there, sandwiched in between a couple of rounds in the 70s. I think he's fine. I'll let you go with Reed, because I'll go to my guy, Tommy Fleetwood. He's not played here, coming off a PGA championship where he really only had 1 good round. And that was the 600 round on Friday, which, sent him up close to the lead. Because after Friday, Hao Tong was leading 8 under. He was at 6 under. And then I don't know if they showed a shot of his on the weekend.
I don't think they did.
Maybe in the beginning, because by the time I got to in front of the TV to watch it. You know, they were not showing any of his shots. I thought he was going to make a little bit of a better run on Sunday, but he didn't, you know. So I think he's fine. I think the ownership here will go to Paul Casey. Obviously, a great tournament last week. He's played around here a bunch, 13th, 3rd, 18th in his last three starts at this golf course, coming off the second-place finish at the PGA Championship. My thing with Brooks is, did you see him getting, like, worked on the golf course on Saturday?
Yeah, I think that injury is still kind of lingering with him, so it's kind of that's another reason why I'm surprised he's playing this week with the playoffs coming up here. So
yeah, me too. A little concerning. I mean, would I be surprised if Brooks won? No. Would I be surprised if he missed the cut? No. It just, I mean, yeah, I guess you're going to really kind of look and see which is more likely from that. So.
Yeah, he always comes in low-owned, and it's like he finished second at the WGC the week before that. He missed the cut, and he was complaining about his knee. So, who knows? It's Brooks. But, it is a little odd watching all that take place. Traveling from West Coast to East Coast, doesn't need to play. Felt a little weird there. Like, then again, these guys, as silly as it sounds, they want FedEx points because they didn't play a lot of the early events before the cancellation. Some of these guys aren't nearly as comfortably sat as they used to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, Brooks was like 126 or something going into last week.
So that could be why he's playing as well. Like, I want to lock in, you know, East Lake, not to worry about this.
Right.
So could be something to that as well. But for me, 10K and above, like, Webb's going to be chalky, and this is chalk I want. So if you're going to pay up, I want Webb badly. I think it's obviously a great spot. We don't have to talk much more about him, as you mentioned. And then Patty Reed, if you want, he's going to make the cut. I just don't know if he's going to contend. You know, 13th last week, he plays those tough courses better than people give him credit for. But the other guy I want is Casey. So it's like you said, Casey's going to be popular. Webb's going to be popular. Those are the two guys that really stand out to me this week if you're paying up for this event. And I don't really know if you want to pay up a ton because there's okay guys down below, but yeah, you don't really feel comfortable going down below this week
right,
like you usually would. So going Webb or Casey, you can do it. Just not in love with it this week. I guess he's starting out the 9K range a lot more comfortably for that case. And starting 9K range, you got Justin Rose at 99, coming off a nice week at the PGA. Harris English at 93, you heard his name a lot already. Billy Ho at 91 is course history. Spieth at 9,000. So another four golfer 9K range DraftKings. Well done. What do you like in this one, Jesse?
I mean, you go from 9,900 to 93. There's nobody in this field that you could fit in between 99 and 93. It blows my mind that this pricing. I mean, whatever. I mean, I understand that it's very top heavy. You already mentioned that, but either way, Justin Rose, 9,900. He's played here once, 2009. He finished fifth. So that was a long time ago. Obviously, I don't know what you want to weight that. Coming off a ninth place finish, a solid top 10 at the PGA Championship before that, three straight miscuts. He's a GPP play only. Harris English at 9,300 has not missed a cut here since 2012. 39th last year, 11th year before, 50th the year before that, and four straight top 20s, including the PGA Championship. I mean, finished 19th last week, three out of four rounds in the 60s, and that was doing a lot of scrambling because he only hit about 53% of the greens last week. So I expect that to improve this week, and I think you'll get he can contend as far as for the win here. Billy Horschel, another guy. I mean, I like everybody here except for Jordan Spieth. 6th, 11th, 60th the last 3 years at this tournament. Four straight made cuts. Played last week. Made the cut, 43rd. So, yeah, I think, you know, if I'm going to, like, rank them, it's going to be English, Horschel, Rose. I mean, do you have any love for Spieth at all?
No, I never do. It's one of those, the week Spieth shows up, you already know I won't be on him. So it's just the way it's going to go. I'd rather not tilt that because he's actually expensive this week compared to weeks past. And I just don't think he's got the, you know, equity to get the DraftKings scoring. That's like, does he make the cut? Probably. But does he have the scoring ability to like a birdie fest place like this to make it work? I haven't seen it in a while. So I'm just not going to pay that price tag. But okay. I will play 9,300 for Harris English. I'm with you there. I'm all over that. He's, like you said, coming in phenomenal form. A top 20 machine right now, 19th last week, which is really impressive. Like you said, the way he had to scramble to do it. So I like English at 93, Rosie at 99. We've been wondering where his game's at. Then he throws out a ninth place last week after a couple weeks off. that's like, okay, do I jump back in? Because we were all over him when he kept missing cuts. I was like, what the heck are you doing, Rosie? Goes and gets ninth, flies across country. It's like he's begging me to come back in on him at 9,900 because in this field, like in reality, as much as I like Taco Tits, Rose is better than Taco Tits. Like he should be up there in that price range if we want to play this game here. So you are getting a discount on Justin Rose. You really are. It's just, was it one performance or is he back? That's the question you have to ask yourself. So I think there's a lot to like with Rose, but for me, it's English and Rose in this range. Billy Ho, I like him a lot, but he's just been really inconsistent for me right now. But course history, you can't ignore how he's playing here. He likes Bermuda, so definitely can be a guy to pick on. But the English and Rose for me in the 9K range. All right, 8K range now. You got Brendan Todd at 89. My God, I can't wait to talk about him because he has been something to watch. Sungjae, who is tilting as well. Shane Lowry, Siwoo Kim, Sergio Chez, who snuck in on the cut and didn't do anything on the weekend. Kisner, Snedeker, Ryan Moore, and Corey Connors. This is why I think balance is going to be fun this week. This 8K range is actually pretty strong, in my opinion. Maybe not to win, but to play some competitively good DraftKings golf for you. What do you like in this 8K range?
Yeah, start with Brendan Todd. He doesn't have good course history, but this is starting in 2016. So 16 miscut, 15 miscut, 26th and 13, then miscut in his two appearances before that. So the course history is obviously not good. But I mean, the dude comes out fucking Thursday, shoots 5 under, which I can't remember what was leading after day one.
He was tied for the lead. He was tied Jason Day. I think Day was at 5, pretty sure.
Well, it was right around there anyways. Mm-hmm. And then he shoots 70, 72, 67. He had a nice little bounce back around there on Sunday. But I mean, I'll play Brendan Todd just because of the course history. Obviously, this is a much different Brendan Todd than what we even had 2 years ago, or even really a year ago, I guess, at this point, because he didn't – like this past fall, he won 2 in a row, right?
Yep.
I mean, it seems like forever ago, but that was literally just past fall. He's – since then, you know, obviously, 2 wins this year, most recently PGA Championship 11th – or I'm sorry, 17th, and the St. Jude 15th. So 2 straight top 20s for him. I think he's fine. Sungjae's interesting. You know, I mean, 6th place here last year makes me want to play him. Mm-hmm. But he took the weekend off last week.
Not on purpose.
I know.
There's just something not right with him right now. I don't know what it is, but
I agree. But I feel like if anybody's going to go out and grind it out. First of all, can we talk about Hao Tung Lee on the driving range on Saturday? Did you see this?
He's a grinder. He's a grinder, man.
Or was that on Friday?
I think it was Friday.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
So like, oh yeah, because he played early.
Yeah, it was Friday.
He went out and shot like bogey free, like 600 par round or something.
Yeah, pretty good.
And then went like to the rounds for round of the 6 hours. Like he was still like on, like still grinding, and it was like almost dark.
He went full Vijay Singh on us.
It was really weird. Yeah. And then like ESPN just ate it up. Like, oh my God, this guy's out here practicing. I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
What else is he going to do?
He's got nowhere else to go. Quarantine sucks in a city like that. Trust me.
Right. I get it. Like, is he going to go sit in the hotel room?
Yeah. I'd go, you know, chip balls on the practice green for a while, too, if I had to.
I mean, it's not like he was out there, like, you know, taking massive cuts. But anyways, so, Sungjae, I want to go back to him because I think you can get him at much less ownership. I mean, he's coming off a week where he was 5% owned last week. At $7,600, normally that would have been a much higher owned Sungjae if he had better form coming in. Mm-hmm. Since the break, he's been shit.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing else you can really say about it. He did finish 10th at the Charles Schwab, which was the first tournament back, but that was 2 months ago at this point. Since then, miscut 58th, 53rd, 63rd, miscut 35th, miscut. Not good. But from a GPP perspective, I feel like he can figure it out and bounce back and maybe potentially get him at some low ownership this week. Shane Lowry, another guy who I think is playable. He played here in 2018, missed the cut, but in 17, he finished 7th. The year before that in 16, he finished 42nd. Made the cut last week, played well at the St. Jude Invitational. So I think he's fine. Chez, I think is playable too. 48th, 37th in his last two appearances here. He had 3 straight missed cuts before that, but different Chez. He made the cut last week, finished 6th at the St. Jude as well. 22nd week before that. He's been playing some solid golf. I think he's totally fine. And and borderline cash worthy there. Ryan Moore, man, he's interesting. Mm-hmm. So on Fantasy Labs, he's like the number one rated on my Fantasy Labs. Now I'm heavily weighting recent form here and then some course history. I've not taken any long-term form stats in this week, but he's played well at this golf course. 2018, 24th the year before that, 53rd of the year before that, 10th the year before that. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2010. He hasn't played every year, but basically hasn't missed a cut in a decade. Coming off two straight made cuts. He did not play last week because he withdrew, right?
Yeah, he withdrew. I think
because he had a prior engagement.
Yeah, he played like the Barracuda. Didn't think he'd get into this, and he had a prior engagement, which most guys, when they get into a major championship, that engagement gets changed. But
yeah,
I don't know. It was weird, very weird.
You send me an invite to the PGA Championship, and whatever's going on at that point,
I'll start walking. I'll get there, dude. We're going to make it happen.
But, I mean, so at the 3M Open, he finished 12th. At the Memorial, he finished 40th. Did he play the Barracuda? Do you have that start?
I thought he played the Barracuda. Maybe I am mistaken. I thought he played Barracuda, and then he bounced. But I don't have the Barracuda in here. Or no. Yeah, he played the Barracuda. He finished 12th at the Barracuda. That's where he finished 12th.
Huh.
And then the 3M Open is where he finished 12th as well. 12th at Barracuda, 12th 3M, 40th at Workday.
So anyway,
40th at the Memorial.
Whatever his prior engagement was, I mean, that sucks. But Ryan Moore this week, I mean, from us like this modeling perspective here, he fits pretty well. So
yeah, I don't mind it at all. I have no problem going back to Brendan Todd. I'm curious about his ownership because 15th, 17th, the last 2 weeks. He's going to hit it straight, hit the fairways, going to give him great wedge shots in. What's not to like, right? Like, this is everything you want from your guy. So, really good spot with Brendan Todd, $8,900, a birdie machine in events like this. Sungjae, I don't know if I'm going to get there, but birdie fest, like when he's on, he can birdie with the best of them, especially on par fives. He can eagle with the best of them. So, I can see the GPP appeal for sure.
Right.
He's not on my list right now, but could definitely be there. And it's weird I say that because who is on my GPP list in this range is Siwoo Kim. Fifth last year, missed cut, first missed cut. I've been on him the last couple of weeks, 13th, 41st, but he's been super cheap the last few weeks when I've been playing him. 8,600 might not get people where you want, but we've seen when he competes here, he competes. Otherwise, he just misses the cut. So I can go with Siwoo in this kind of format. And we saw he clicks on Bermuda greens and whatnot when we did the fan share. Something to keep in mind. It's hard to predict putting, obviously, but we can roll with that a little bit if we want to. And then the other guys, I had Moore down here at 81. Kisner at 83. I love Kis on short courses. I really do. If he does not have to compete by bombing with guys, he does well. Like last week at Harding Park, bombers could do well, but he didn't have to bomb. Kis finished 19th, finished 25th at the WGC. He can poke and prod, but then if it's a shorter course, he can do well. 42nd, 10th, 8th, 48th, 59th, 5 for 5 on made cuts at this event. So I like Kis in cash, and I think he's got some upside at 83. And then the other guy I like here is Corey Connors. When you want to talk iron play, getting to the green, and a guy that just can't putt half the time, Corey Connors. So he's a guy you could ride with. 22nd last year here, 45th, missed the cut last week, and 30th at the WGC. I like Connors quite a bit at 8,000. I think he's a big-time upside play, so that's why this 8K range, I think you could do some serious building with and go from there. So good stuff here. Let's go into the 7K, 7,900 to 7,500. What's sticking out to you here?
Let's start with Russell Henley. I mentioned him last week. I played him quite a bit. He made the cut and you know, a couple rounds in the 60s, a couple one over par rounds. On, you know, I mentioned it last week on Fantasy National Golf Club. You know, he's number one in that opportunities gain stat, and he still is over the last 24 rounds. So I like him this week. And then Tom Lewis at 7,600, he missed the cut last week. He actually shot 3 under par the first day and then shot 6 over par the next day.
Well, did you see, speaking of that, wasn't it, you see what Martin Keimer did?
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. That's who was leading, right? Wasn't he leading?
I think he was like 3 or 4 under. He wasn't leading, but he was up there, and he goes and shoots an 81 on Friday.
Oh, man. Yeah, it sounds like me. So anyways, Tom Lewis, I think he's fine. He's never played here. But before, obviously, the miscut PGA Championship or whatever happened, he played in the afternoon on, I believe, Friday. You know, the winds were picking up every afternoon. You know, obviously, it wasn't really that big of an advantage for either wave. But long story short on him, I will go back to him. Those are my only two guys really above 76. You know, I want to click guys like, or above 75. I want to click guys like Maverick McNeely, but I don't know what the fuck is going on with him. Two straight miscuts with an 88, 81 and a 77 in his last appearance at the Memorial. Now, that was obviously a difficult track, but at the work day when it was playing easier, still didn't play very well.
He was seventh at the CUDA.
He played, okay, for whatever reason, Labs hasn't loaded that. I think McNeely's a guy that can be playable, GPP, obviously. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't mind him. What do you think on Patrick Rogers? You tell me, because I feel like you have a better feeling on him than I usually do.
Yeah, usually I like playing him, but again, he's a guy I like to play when he's like in the 6K range. And I'm not like, obviously this field works, but you know, 81st here last year. So he snuck in the cut and then trunk slam. But then 24th, 38th. So he's made the cut when he plays here in the last three events. He played well at the CUDA. He's coming in with three straight made cuts, two top 20s out of that. I could see the upside there. He's just one of those guys that he can tilt you quite a bit. I'm not on him right now, but I get it in the GPP, and he's usually always low owned. So I totally understand that.
You know him better than I do, I feel like. So if you're not a huge fan, I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, right now I'm not, but lately I've really, like, I talk about it here a lot, like looking at ownership in certain ranges here. And that's kind of my Wednesday evening tradition, and it's gotten me on some low guys that I've been pivoting to that if, you know, like I said, I like him, so I get it. I'm just not on him right now. But maybe it turns into one because, like, everyone's on Henley or something, or McNeely or Lewis or whatever in that range, and you get Rogers like 3 or 4%.
I got you.
I got Siwoo last week less than 1%, and he finished like 7 under. All you need is one of those guys, and you can be chalky everywhere else.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, that's what I look at it for. But in this range, I think Neiman's interesting. 13th here last year, 33rd the week before or year before. Got the miscut last week, 52nd at the WGC. So coming in kind of shaky form after playing some pretty good golf, likes this course, could be a good bounce back spot for a guy like Neiman. Doc Redman's back-to-back miscuts here, but if you talk about a guy that can make birdies in bunches, he's interesting, but he's usually chalky. So keep that one in mind. I'm just looking for, like, I'd rather go to Christian Buzenhout, but people are slowly starting to catch on to him, and that's going to bug the crap out of me because we've kind of been talking about, I know we're not the only ones that talked about him, but we've talked about him for quite a while now. And miscut last week, 20th at the WGC, though. He's a guy that he can keep it in the fairway, make birdies. So, like, Neiman, I'm known to mispronounce it, Buzenhout, Christian, I think is an interesting two plays. And then the other guy that I love this week, cash game viable. He finished 66th last week, but Sabatini. We're talking about making hitting fairways. 6th, 57th, 4th, 8th, his last four times here. So Sab's at 75. Mentioned the 6th at the PGA, miscut, and then 17th, miscut, 21st, 14th. In a field like this, these are kind of where he stands out a little more, a course where he can keep it straight and go, and with that goofy yellow ball he uses. Sabatini at 75, I'm on board with that. Who do you like at 74 to 7,000?
Start with, for me, Chris Kirk at 7,300. 11th here last year, 46th, 2016. 2013, finished 65th, 22nd, 2012, missed the cut in 11. So four straight made cuts at this event. The last start I had for him, and again, you might have played the Barracuda, I don't know, but it was a 3M Open. He finished 41st. I think he's totally fine. Lucas Glover, he has played decent around here, 72nd last year, 28th, 22nd, 18th. So four straight made cuts at this golf course. Two straight miscuts on the tour. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, but I think in a GPP, he's fine. Norlander at 7,300. He missed the cut here in 2016, but finished 16th in 2013. And 23rd at the 3M Open. Did he play the Barracuda, Norlander?
Norlander did not play the Barracuda. He's taken a few weeks off.
Gotcha. So 7,300. I expected him to be closer to the 8K range, like, you know, top of the 7,000. So be interesting to see what his ownership comes in at. I don't think he'll go unnoticed. Sam Burns, 7,200. I know he missed the cut at the Barracuda, but he was playing pretty well before that. Bud Cauley was actually toward the top of the leaderboard this past week. After around a 66 on Thursday, one over par the next round, and then two over par the next round, one under par the next round. So He ended up finishing 37th last week. That's two straight made cuts for him. Now, these are on two different golf courses. These are very difficult golf courses. Memorial, where Jack gave his own golf course the finger, and then obviously the PGA Championship. Both those places played very tough, but he's actually played pretty well around here. 22nd last week. I mean, last year, sorry, at Sedgefield. 42nd in 2017 and 10th place in 2016. So three straight make cuts for him. Luke List, three straight missed cuts at this golf course, but the dude made the cut last week at the PGA Championship. Three straight make cuts for him on tour, GPP only. Sepp Straka, 39th here last year, and is coming off a made cut at the PGA Championship as well. Also has five straight made cuts on tour. So, yep, that's it for me.
Yeah, we have run a lot of the same guys. I think Glover's a very strong GPP play. As Kevin pointed out, he screwed him over in San Francisco, screwed over a lot of us, but we know he's got that upside. Like in this field, I'd expect him to be higher priced than this. That's one thing I'll say. So he's a guy I can definitely see going back to, but just be ready for the Lucas Glover tilt. It's very, very real. Norlander, I'm a big fan of. You mentioned, you know, the form he's coming in with. He's played well overall in this return to golf. So $7,300 for Norlander. I'm all about that. Bud Cauley was on my list as well. Great course history, coming in good form. That 37th at the PGA is very impressive. And then the other guy I had written down here was Straka. You had all the guys. So that's perfect. But it's Sepp, who, a guy we rode for a long time, and then he just went off the rails. But it looks like he's finding himself again. And he is a birdie machine when he's on. So it's one of those plays, obviously not cash, but in a GPP, Sepp has that ability to go low and get wild. So I got no problem with Sepp at $7,100 in a field like this in a birdie making event. Yeah, definitely could see myself with some Sepp Straka. All right, 6K range. There's a couple guys that I'm surprised are down here, but besides your boy Kokrak, who surprised he's actually down here, what do you like in this range?
Yeah, I'll start with your boy Flat Bill, Pat Perez, $6,900. Two straight missed cuts. So he played in 2019, missed the cut. 2013, missed the cut. And 11, finished 17th. So he's one of three made cuts here. But coming off, you know, a decent stretch for him. I mean, did he play the Barracuda too?
Yep, Barracuda, finished 18th.
Yeah, so that's 18th there, 23rd at 3M. Made the cut at the Workday, finished 39th. Rocket Mortgage, 45th. Been playing pretty good golf. Adam Long, missed the cut here last year, but played the PGA Championship, made the cut there. Bryce Garnett, he was toward, I believe he was, yeah, finished 6th last year here. Coming off a 26th place finish at the 3M Open, I think he's fine. Adam Schenck, rates pretty highly on my model here on Fantasy Labs. Two straight missed cuts at this golf course, though, and that's why, well, besides the fact he's Adam Schenck, that's why his price is so depressed here. Three straight made cuts on tour. Did he play the Barracuda?
Schenck, Barracuda.
67.
Yeah, 12th.
There you go. Chesson Hadley, 6,600, just from some course history stats that I look at. You know, he stood out, so I think he's okay. He's not really had a whole hell of a lot of success around here, but he's made two straight cuts at this golf course. Finishes aren't there. Wesley Bryan at 6,600, two straight missed cuts here as well. Another GPP play. Jason Duffner, you know, the thing about Jason Duffner is, like, he can hit it to 5 feet and then three putt it. so it's tilting, but, I mean, the dude at some point I think is going to come back around. When that's going to be, I don't know. He missed the cut on the number at the PGA Championship and has had okay success around here. Nothing great. He did miss the cut here last year, but before that had five straight made cuts. So I think he's fine. I like to play Duffner, just in, especially kind of birdie fest, just in case his putter gets hot for some reason. And then last but not least, if you're way down at the bottom, Chris Baker. Did he play the Barracuda at 6,200?
Chris Baker. Let me scroll. This might take a little while. Chris Baker at 53rd.
So before that, the 3M Open 41st, Rocket Mortgage Classic is 45th. So that's three straight made cuts for him on tour, $6,200. you know, what are you going to do, man? How about my dude, Harry Higgs, getting all the way down here at $6,200?
Yeah, talk about a birdie machine. That's he's coming in some shady, shady
form. Talk about a bogey machine recently.
Yeah, I was saying, he's coming in shady form, but, man, couldn't you see that strut with the aviators coming down the fairway on Sunday? Wouldn't that be great?
Did he play the Barracuda?
I'm trying to – I thought he did, but –
$6,200.
Yeah, I just saw him going blind all of a sudden.
He's just not.
There he is. No, he did not. No, he did not. He missed the cut at the Memorial. He met the work day at the 3 a.m. A 70 at the missed cut. Good God, Higgs.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, losing four strokes tee to green over his last five tournaments. I mean, the last two, it's just not been good. So, but, you know, at $6,200, if you're down here, you know, hell, why not take a chance with him that he figures it out at some point?
No doubt about it. You didn't mention him, and usually you're on him. What's with your boy Kokrak? Three straight made cuts here, including a six last year. Missed the cut last weekend, 44 the week before. Withdrawal, missed cut. Form is shitty, but any love for him?
Yeah, it's just his form coming in more than anything else. But he's a GPP play too. I mean, because you just never know about him. But I'm trying to quit Kokrak.
Yeah, you're trying to quit Coke. Gotcha. Denny McCarthy, $6,900, 22nd here last year, 38th the year before, 58th last week. He's made four straight cuts on tour. He's a putter. That's one thing with Denny. If he can get to the green, he's actually a good putter. So he intrigues me at $6,900. If we need a putting fest, having him on your side usually doesn't suck. Ryan Armour, a guy I was riding there for a while, that he's missed three straight cuts. He's had a rough go of it of late. But if you want to go course history, 22nd, 8th, and 4th, he's a guy that plays short courses pretty well. When he was having his good run, he was in lighter fields, short courses. So we're back to one, $6,800. He's on my radar for sure. Bryce Garnett, you mentioned at 67. Wes Bryan at 66, like both of them. And then the last guy I will mention at $6,500 is the one CT Pan. It's never pretty with CT. He can really tilt you off. Missed the PGA, 72nd the week before, then 44th, 48th at the Memorial, and Workday. But didn't play here last year, second the year before, 63rd the year before that. He's got some upside at 6,500 if you need to go there. There's guys below this, but I'm trying not to go too deep here if we don't want to. The one thing I will mention, Mr. Barnrat is here at 6,400. So he's back. I don't know if I trust him.
Kiradek?
Yeah, he finished 60th here last year. Hasn't played since the tour reopened. So I have no idea how many cars he's been cruising around in, how many heaters he's been smoking, how much golf he's actually been playing. But the Barn Rat is here, so it's going to be absolutely electric in that regard.
Well, fuck, I'm playing him for sure.
Yeah, $6,400 Barn Rat. Like talk about birdie fest. It could be full tilt, but who else could go out there and just roll it like Barn Rat?
I mean, he's just a guy you got to root for too.
Yeah, I want to see that cloud of smoke. Like, we need that back. The vape action is back. So we got Barn Rat out there at 64. And I won't give out the name, but in the Slack chat this morning, Kevin mentioned a $6,000 guy that he's a huge fan of, that's local, that's played this course a lot. So we'll have to come check out the Slack chat if you want Kevin's little nit. He actually brought two guys in the low sixes that he talked about. So go check that out. But let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who's your one target?
Webb.
Yep, I'm with you there. 9K range, who's your one?
I got three of four.
Out of the four.
Harris English.
Yeah, English is mine as well. 8K range, give me two.
Brendan Todd and Ryan Moore.
Yeah, I like Todd and Corey Connors. Those would be the two if I had to pick just two. 7,500 and above, go two.
Henley and Lewis.
I will go with Bezenhout and Sabs. 7,000 to 7,400, go two.
Chris Kirk and Henrik Norlander.
I'll go Norlander and Bud Cauley in that range. And then who's your two favorite 6K guys?
Pat Perez and Shank.
I like Denny McCarthy and Bryce Garnett. Those would be my two guys in that range. You're starting out a cash lineup. Who are three guys you're starting with?
Man, cash will be tough this week. But I would go with Ryan Moore. Probably Norlander in there and Harris English.
I go Sabatini, Kisner, and Webb is how I would start things off. Give me those three. See where the build goes from there. If Webb costs you too much, then you could drop down to even like a Harris English at 93. If you're starting at a GPP, where are you starting there?
Henley, Schenck, and Horschel.
I'm going to start out with Rose, Siwoo Kim, and Lucas Glover in a GPP.
Sungjae Im, though, too, man. Like I said,
yep. 8,600 for Sungjae does not stink in a field like this. That's for sure. All right. Picks to win, Jesse. Who are we liking this week? It is an interesting week to, if people are gambling, that you can get some interesting odds for guys that, that could. I posted was like 120, 130 something last year. So you see a lot of big, big odds take down this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild week. I would maybe sprinkle a little bit on Tom Lewis at 80. I got him pulled up this week, so I'm ready for you, which is, I know is a little bit different. so maybe him at 80. I mean, Kisner at 50.
That's not bad. I like the Kis at 51. You can get your Sungjae at 33. I think it's a good week to do top 20s or something like that with some of these plus 100 guys and get them the odds down a little bit there. Like, I didn't even really talk about them, but you could see, like, in a GPP, Tyler Duncan's 200-1. He can go birdie fest at times. He's an interesting one in that price range. If you're going for some other kind of long shotty ones, looking at guys like Bryce Garnett at 125, I could see a top 20, top 10 type deal with Bryce. That's an interesting one. But if you want to pick to win, I like that Kis at 50. That's a pretty strong one there. I'll go Corey Connors at 50 also. I think he's got some upside in this event this week. Mike Tuck has a question for us, Jesse. Is this the week to leave salary on the table? Like, is it? You think it's a good idea to leave like $600 or more on the table this week? Or are you building it all the way up?
So, like, I wouldn't go into with the mindset that I was going to force myself to do that. But if it happened to be that way, then I think it's fine to do so. But I wouldn't, like, look at this week as any, like, any differently than I do any other weeks. I mean, I know the field is drastically different than it was last week, but it's still just your, you know, it's just a normal PGA Tour event. So, you know, whenever I do multiple lineups, like if I do 20 and I use a lineup builder to do it, I will set the salary cap anywhere between 98% and 100%, obviously. So sometimes it just does it for me and I'll roll with it. But I'm not going to go into it with the mindset that I'm definitely going to do that.
Sweet, sweet. Any final thoughts for the week? It's going to be a fun one. Birdie Fest, we know how tilting those can be where the cut's like minus four or something. And we're back to T65 and ties, everybody. So hope you enjoyed it. Even though the T70 didn't matter because it was like they were tied for 60th. So it wouldn't have mattered any other way last week. But we're back to T65 and ties. I think the 6-6 percentage is going to be a little different this week. Just going to throw that one out there. We might get a little bit back to our normal like 5% chaos we've had lately. So any final thoughts, Jesse?
Good luck, man. Good luck.
I'm looking forward to it. My biggest concern is can the PGA Tour app be up the track this week? That's all I ask for. Because in my truck for Thursdays and Fridays, like the tilt of DFS golf is amazing. If I can't tilt it, this is really annoying. So
we didn't even talk about that. I mean, the scoring on Thursday was there was no excuse for it. I don't understand how it was so far behind. They got better Friday and Saturday. Sunday, but it was still not even as good as shot track on the PGA Tour, which I know the PGA Tour doesn't run this event. It's the PGA of America, whatever. But this is the second straight year where their app has been shit.
Mm. Yeah, it was really bad, really really bad.
I mean, so. It's better. I'm gonna give some credit to them. They made some improvements on it because I've had that PGA Tour, like the fact that I deleted the PGA Tour, the screenshot that I deleted the PGA Tour app last year up for a year on purpose as my pinned tweet. On Twitter because it sucked. It was awful 2 years ago. This last week it was better, but
well, the bar wasn't that high. So that's
good. Mean, you can't be three or four holes behind. It's just
they were over a half an hour behind.
I know,
ridiculous.
I know.
I don't get it either. But hey, maybe there's fans in the way. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Who knows?
But all right, everybody, you can check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt Bediantric. If you guys give a rate and review on iTunes, we'd appreciate it. You can also check out the podcast on any of your listening platforms or on YouTube at the Fantasy Sports DGens YouTube channel. So that's always good. And the podcast is at Always Press DFS on Twitter. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Good luck this week, and we'll catch you guys later. Anybody ever wonder?